This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, Showers of Blessings.
Showers of Blessing. Surveys are recording in 2021, and this is amazing, that there is a record number of depression and unhappiness in this country this morning. This is the most powerful country in the world, the richest country in the world, the most educated country in the world. It's all of those things. And yet people, by and large, so many people are unhappy, fear-filled, stressed out. Drug use and alcohol abuse are on the rise big time. Americans are focused on what's wrong with our country, rather than balancing it against what's right with our country. There seems to be a shadow, a cloud, a dark cloud over so many in our country today. Now the question for you this morning is, where is your focus? Are you in the deep, dark side of despair? Are things coming into your life that are pulling you down? Are you focused on your problems? Do they occupy your mind and your days and your nights? Or are you focused on your blessings? And that's what I'd like to encourage you with this morning, that we need to be focused and refocused on the blessings that God has showered upon us. There are two ways in which the word blessed is used in the Bible. One, in giving praise to the Lord. You know, praise God from whom all blessings flow. The doxology is one of those. And secondly, it's God's declaring his supreme happiness to man. He blesses us. He showers us with a blessing. What was the very last thing that Jesus said to his disciples before he ascended into heaven? What's the last thing he did? Luke 24, 50 and 51. And he led them, his disciples, out as far as Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and what? He blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, never to be seen again. But the last thing he does is he blesses them. And that's you too. It's in God's nature to bless his creation and bless his children. There are two kinds of blessing in Scripture. Simple blessings of everyday life and spiritual blessings. And what do I mean by those two? Evangelist C.H. Spurgeon says, the simple everyday blessings are not definite marks of divine favor, since God gives them to the unworthy and to the wicked as well as to the righteous. Well, Jesus put it like that, only in a different way. In Matthew 5:45, he said, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. So the fact that we're on a planet that God promised would be inhabitable, he would make it such that there'd be enough rain to feed people, to take away droughts. There'd be enough sun to bake those seeds and let them germinate. There'd be enough of all of this stuff for us to be able to live on this planet. The ability to live on this planet and the resources necessary to make that happen are God's everyday blessings. You're able to go to a supermarket. How many countries are able to do that? How many times did we hear stories back in the 1950s under Khrushchev? That Khrushchev came to the United States, I forget whether it was the 50s or the 60s or whatever, he was premier of Russia. And the thing that he saw which astounded him the most was not Disneyland. The thing that astonished him the most was the supermarkets in America. Chock-a-block full of everything. And he turned to his staff that followed him everywhere he went and he said, listen, don't photograph this. If the people of our country see these shelves laden with abundance like this, there'll be a revolution. We're so blessed. We're so blessed. And when anything kind of comes along and puts a wrinkle in our sense of equilibrium about what's going on, did you see? They didn't have any chocolate milk this time. What's going on? God in his justice does not deny the simple physical blessings that come from him to those who deny him. Think about that. We're so partial in the way we distribute our love and our care and our concern for people. We like the people who like us. We like the people who are like us. But as soon as you break that mold and go to the outer edges, then it's questionable. But God loves everyone, including his enemies, including those who deny them. He will not deny them the privilege of salvation. It's there waiting for them. He's standing with open arms, almost a picture of Christ on the cross, and he's just begging to be accepted. But he doesn't deny the things that are blessings, the blessing of family and friends, of food, of health, employment, the beauty of nature, pets, art, music, literature, a good night's sleep, and the pleasure of sitting under your own tree on your property in a summer's day in a free nation. These are God's blessings to humanity. When by man's inhumanity, those everyday blessings are withheld, all men are left. All they have left are their dreams. Who denies people the privilege of sitting on a little square of acre of their own property? Government. Dictators. There's enough planet to go around, you know, for everybody to have a piece. In his book, Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl, who spent years at Auschwitz and Dachau, wrote of the dreams often experienced by his fellow inmates. Listen. What did the prisoner dream about most frequently? Of bread, cake, cigarettes, nice warm baths. The lack of having these simple desires, blessings, satisfied, led him to seek, wish, and dream of those things. Simple blessings denied become the things that our dreams are made of. God's simple blessing extended to all the stuff dreams and aspirations are made of. It was in pursuit of those blessings for an emerging nation 245 years ago that caused America's founding fathers to create the Declaration of Independence and the United States Constitution, established on biblical truths and reverence for God. They recognized and sought for America those blessings God showered on Israel. Turn in your Bibles or up here on PowerPoint to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 to 6. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 to 6. I'll give you a minute to turn there. Listen to the blessings that God gives to Israel. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments which I command thee this day, and the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Verse 3, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt thou be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. These are called conditional blessings. In other words, what we used to call, or still call, a quid pro quo. God says, if you do this, I'll do that. Listen to what he promises. If you listen to my voice, if you observe to do my commandments, if you walk in my ways, if you don't turn away from my word, if you don't go after other gods, these blessings will follow. Now, as we go through this list and you say, why are all these things individualized this way? Why does he separate so many things out? Because God is in the details. He's down to the tiniest details of your life. He's not leaving stuff out. He says, I will set you above all other nations. You think about the little country of Israel, just a dot on the global map, and ask, has God blessed them? Has God protected them? It's amazing to think that the Jewish people, who represent less than 2% of the world's population, still dominate cultures. Secondly, you will be blessed in your cities. Cities are places where people are anonymous. You know, when bandits back in the old days, you know, the Willie Suttons and the Al Capone, you can go down any list of gangsters back in those days. Whenever they wanted to disappear, they didn't go into the country. They went into the city, because the city, populated by so many people, by millions, is a place where you could be anonymous. In growing up in Brooklyn, you could be on your street, 22nd Street, where I was where I grew up. You could be on 22nd Street and a lot of people would know you. You'd go around the corner, 23rd Street, nobody knew you. It was just amazing. Lived in an apartment building on Turner Place in Flatbush. You could be on the third floor and maybe know your neighbor. But go to the second floor, nobody. You knew nobody. Anonymity in the cities. God says, even though you may be one of millions, I've got my eye on you and I'm blessing you. You will be blessed in the fields when you're out working, being productive, when you're on the job. You will be blessed by your children. There'll be a respect. Your crops will be blessed. Your cattle will be blessed. Your flocks will be blessed. The bottom line, bring all your cares and all the aspects of your life to the Lord, because He is able. He's in the details of your life. Bring them all to Jesus. Don't leave anything behind. I've heard so many people in my lifetime and in my pastorate who would say to me, well, I don't pray for myself. I only pray for others. Why don't you pray for yourself? When you're tearful at night, pray. When you're concerned, when you're stressed out, when you're down, when you're depressed, when you're just feeling like that you're in a mess too big for you, cry out to the Lord. David did it all the time. Read the Psalms. Again, these are conditional blessings. And God does have a number of places in Scripture where He says, if you do this, I will do that. If a nation, He says in verse 15 of that chapter, if a nation will not listen to my voice, observe my commandments, or walk in my ways, if it follows other gods, then that nation will lose my blessing. Hello? Is America a blessed nation? Yes or no? Yes. Is it about to lose the blessings of the Lord? Is it on the right path? Well, so what does God promise? If you're on the right path as a nation, He'll bless you. And if not, just look at all the other countries around the world. And pretty soon you're going to be there. The believer has spiritual blessings reserved for them alone. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The storms of life will thunder into your life. Sessions of despair will arrive at your door, unannounced, but they will not and they cannot separate you from the blessings and the love you have in Jesus Christ. I love the section in Romans that talks about the fact that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing. Now, does nothing mean nothing? Hello? Does nothing mean nothing? It absolutely means nothing. You can walk away from the Lord. You won't lose your salvation, but you won't hear from Him anymore. He's still there. The Holy Spirit's still in here. He wants you to mend your ways and change your ways, but you won't. The Apostle Paul, who has been battered and beaten from life's pillar to post, knows what he's talking about, because he lived a very interesting life. Even though the storms and the seasons came into his life, and even though they'll do the same, there will be some smile-filled days. You're not trapped. You may be going through a season that feels horrible. We all have them. This may be your time. But hang on. Hang on to Jesus. It may take time, but while time is passing, Jesus never leaves nor forsakes you. You can be positive of that. The source of strength and the place of peace is in God's blessed word, the Bible. It's the Bible that reveals your spiritual blessings. It's the reservoir from which you may draw comfort, courage, direction, peace, relief, rest, and the promises God has made for you in such a time as what you're going through right now. No matter what you're going through, it's covered here. No matter what's permeating your mind, no matter what thoughts are dominant, no matter what it is that's depressing, suppressing, or stressing you right now, God speaks to it. Let Him speak to you. The psalmist David experienced all the heights and depths of life. He didn't have a consistent grip on his faith in God. Think about that. You want to look at an imperfect Christian? Go look at David. In fact, just open the book anywhere and you'll find inconsistent Christians. Now, I know I'm talking about the Old Testament, but the point is well made that they are supposedly followers of Jehovah God, and look how they lived their lives. Not much different than you and me. David didn't have that kind of a grip on God. He wasn't consistent. But guess what? While David wasn't consistent in his relationship with the Lord, God was consistent with David. God loved David. He was the apple of God's eye. Psalm 34, David acknowledged the Lord's continued blessings and protection on him. And he urged others, he urges you to put God to the test. Listen to what he writes here in Psalm 34, which is a wonderful psalm to study. Psalm 34, and its verses in this particular lesson this morning, verses 1 to 8. I will bless the Lord at all times. All times? Remember before you told me nothing means nothing. Do all times mean all times? Like what you're going through right now? Is he to be blessed at this time? God doesn't mince words. He said you can bless the Lord at all times. Fill in your time. His praise shall continually be in my mouth, continually. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. So what is that telling me? It tells me that when I'm living like a person, as a person, I'm living out my faith, people will see it. When I'm going through those tough times, people are seeing how I'm going through them. And they are being reinforced with the understanding that the Christian doesn't face life's turmoils, life's stresses, life's up and downs the same way as a non-Christian, a non-believer. You have so many blessings and resources available to you as you go through this. But the question is, will you withdraw from the bank of blessings what you need for this time? It's up to you. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Verse 4, I sought the Lord. He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked upon him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear him and delivered them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Verse 4. Let's take a look at some of these blessings that he lays out. Verse 4. God promises to answer prayer. It's one thing to have a God who just hears our prayers and does nothing about it. How many times have you come to somebody for counseling and they turned you down? How many times have you come to somebody for prayer and they turned you down? Well, you can go to God. He will not turn you down. He'll hear your prayers, but then he'll take the extra step. He'll answer that. That's a blessing you have. You have a God who hears you and answers the prayer. The one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He laughs at our work. He mocks our wisdom. But he trembles when you pray. The clasp of hands in prayer is the beginning of an uprising against the disorder of this world. You want to see things change? You want to see the Lord come into the hearts and minds of some of the people in your family? Keep praying. Don't give up on prayer. Verse 4, God delivers us from fear. 1 John 4:18, listen. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. Our country is awash with fears. People are so fearful today that they're doing things they never would have done without this fear hanging over their head. You fill in the blanks with how you see that manifested. But no one can deny that there is a tremendous amount of fear in our country today. We can talk about what creates it and all that other stuff. But for the believer, one of the things that we learn about fear is it kind of implies that we're not trusting the Lord. We're not trusting the Lord. What have I to doubt? What have I to fear? I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. Fear is when you throw yourself into Jesus' arms and know that He will hold you up. You're not alone in this. Number 5, verse 5. He brings light to the believer's mind. Psalm 18:28. And the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. When you study, when you meditate God's word, you bring the light of truth to matters of life and death and the future. We've just done over 30 weeks of the book of Revelation. And so many of you told me that it brought so much light to your understanding about the future. Unbelievers don't have that. They try to duplicate it with all the ways in which man is attempting to bring a utopia here, trying to bring the kingdom of God here. They can't do it. The United Nations cannot do it. The only person that's going to take control over this planet, the only person able, worthy, and strong enough to do it is Christ. You know it. You know the secrets of life and death. You know that death is not the end. How many people outside the building here know that death is not the end? How many people on your street, how many people in your sphere of influence know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there's life after death? Or even care? Number 5, verse 5. He emboldens the believer, Joshua 1:9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Time for you to speak up, to stand up against evil, against injustice and sin. We should not be intimidated by the culture. Our poor kids going to high school these days, being intimidated by those in the schools, telling them that they can't say anything about their faith, can't bring any reports about what Jesus has done in their life. What kind of nonsense is this? What kind of violation of the Constitution of the United States and the Bill of Rights is this? These are rights given to us out of the Scripture. God's promised us that if we will obey His word, blessings will follow. The blessing of free speech is going to be denied shortly because our country is walking away from these things and substituting other philosophy in place of the truth. And so when you follow Marxism or you follow socialism or you follow these other atheistic ideas, just hang on. The worst is yet to come. And verse 18 says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Broken hearts are mended at the foot of the cross. What is it that has your heart broken? What is it that's disappointing you in this life? What is it that's upsetting you and upsetting your apple cart, so to speak? There's only one that can mend that heart, and that's Jesus. You don't need somebody else to mend your heart because no one else can. You don't need somebody else to be happy. You don't need somebody else to feel a purpose in life. It's between you and the Lord. And if you're happy from within, you'll be happy from without. Amen? There's more blessings. Salvation, forgiveness, the Holy Spirit, God's grace, God's mercy, eternity in heaven, and His unconditional love. If you count your blessings, if you'll meditate and focus on Christ and His word, your season of despair can be put into perspective. Your times of joy will be enhanced. If it's true, you can only think about one thing at a time. Think about Jesus. Think about your blessings. Take your focus off what you don't have and put it on what you do have in Christ. That never changes. People change. Circumstances change. Philosophies change. Governments change. We live with change. Change is a constant in our lives. The one thing that doesn't change is this. Oh, hang on to it. If you want to break from the things that are negatively oppressing you, refocus your mind on your blessings. Stay in God's Word. Here's a thought. Isaiah 26:3. This is a beautiful verse. I've quoted to you before. It's in the Bible. Isaiah 26:3. If thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. So that's a promise, right? That's a blessing. If your mind is focused on the Lord through your troubles, then God will bless you through those troubles. Conditional blessings, but they're yours if you claim them. Here's the challenge. The next time the waves of trials and trouble crash onto the shores of your life, claim the promise we just read. Isaiah 26:3. Refocus. Think about God's promise and God's blessings to carry you through. Stay focused on Christ. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And what? It will surprise you what God has done. What has he done? He has showered you with his blessing. Help us to see in the weather forecast that we are showered with blessings. Help us to not be in poverty. Help us to be rich in your blessings and your promises. Open our eyes that we may see your promises are true. And then help us to claim them. Not just think about them, not just say the words, but to really live the words. And thank you, Lord, that you're such a generous God, that you've promised not to give us blessings, but to shower us with them. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org. Or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.